This is Dr. Jimmy Nichols, equine nutritionist. On this podcast, we will explore unique cases, debunk popular myths, and break down advanced research data. Join me for a little fun, a lot of science, and some real-world advice for feeding horses. Hey, it's Dr. Jimmy. Welcome to episode 107. Thank you for tuning in. And if you haven't yet, go find me on Facebook and Instagram. Give me a like, give me a follow. Just search Dr. Jimmy, equine nutritionist, or you can type in the handle at Dr. Jimmy, which is spelled D-R-J-Y-M-E. All right, guys, it's that time of year where babies are being weaned, they're finding new homes. Maybe you yourself are purchasing a weanling either by private treaty, or maybe you're headed to a sale where weanlings are going to be consigned. Either way, you either have or plan to bring a new baby, well, a new baby horse into your life. This is an incredibly exciting time for us as new owners with these babies, but it can be a really stressful experience for the young horse. So I'm going to start from the top for those that maybe are new to weanling ownership. The term weanling refers to a young weaned horse that is less than 1 year of age. Okay, so weaning just means that the foal has been separated from his mother. And basically at this point in life, the foal is totally responsible for eating its entire diet versus having that opportunity to, you know, suckle milk from the dam. Now, most babies are going to be weaned between 4 and 6 months of age. And there's a lot of things that can go into making that decision of when to wean a baby. The most common considerations are generally going to be related to the health and the condition of the mare herself. So when a mare is lactating or producing milk, her nutritional needs are extremely high, okay? Which basically means that, you know, she needs plenty of quality pasture, or plenty of good quality hay. She needs a really good, satisfactory nutrition program. And as we know, forages are the main component of the nutrition program. So if you're, if someone has a mare who has a baby on her side and she's lactating and her needs are high and she's trying to satisfy needs of the baby, and let's say she's on a pasture and that pasture is starting to, you know, dry up, maybe we're getting towards the end of summer, maybe you haven't had a lot of rain, the grasses themselves are starting to get a little bit crispy, or they're going into a dormant state, or maybe the grass seems to be green still, but the pastures are just overgrazed. There's just not a lot out there. Or maybe the hay supply is limited, right? Maybe it was a dry year or an extremely wet year. Either way, that can affect hay supply. So maybe you can't get good quality hay or the type of quality of hay that's needed to supply to a lactating mare. Those are all good times to think about, you know, weaning that baby. And the reason is so that you can reduce those nutrient demands on the mare, okay? Babies will also get weaned at certain times just because maybe they're consigned to a certain sale. And so there's a sale date that you have to meet, or maybe they are going to be sold private treaty and, you know, you've got to have that foal weaned so that you can have them prepared to leave home. You know, the worst thing that you could do to a foal is, you know, wean the foal one day and then send the foal to a new home the next, right? That would be incredibly stressful on that baby. And most breeders understand that. So, you know, they're going to take the time to go through the proper weaning protocols, and they're going to make every effort possible to, you know, reduce the stress of the weaning period on that baby. This episode is not necessarily about how to wean. So I'm going to drop, there's actually an extension fact sheet from Oklahoma State University that Dr. Chris Heine put together, that does a pretty good job of walking through, you know, kind of the general protocols for weaning a baby and, different steps you can take to kind of try to reduce that stress level on the baby. So rather than going through all of that in this episode, I'm just going to put a link to that particular fact sheet under the show notes. So you can go there and find your way to that piece of information. Okay, so let's say that you are planning to bring home a weanling. First, you need to make sure that you have a safe place on your property, or, you know, at some facility for your newbie. Okay, this could be maybe a pasture with other weanlings. It might be a large paddock with a babysitter, right? When I say babysitter, I mean like an old, super gentle gelding or a, you know, old retired broodmare. I've even seen people use like old ponies, a donkey. You know, with the ponies and donkeys, you have to be a little bit careful because sometimes they themselves are hypersensitive to the sugar contents in pasture grasses. So if, you know, if your weanling is going out on pasture and your babysitter is going to be either a pony or a donkey, you just need to be really mindful that you don't send your pony or your donkey into an episode of laminitis because they're out on green pasture. So just be mindful of that. But basically with these babysitters, you're just looking for anything that will keep, you know, keep the babies in line and be a little bit of a companion. Kind of, you know, walk them through the do's and don'ts of life, if you want to think of it that way. Then there are some people that maybe go straight to a stall with their new weanling. I think the critical piece of information for this decision, you know, whether you're going to put them out in pasture or in a large paddock or whether you're going to put them in a stall, you know, I think it's important to understand that young growing horses need exercise and, you know, they need to be able to move around. Now I'm not talking about, you know, carrying weight or going into training or anything like that. I just mean, you know, exercise in terms of walking, running, you know, playing, acting like a horse would in the wild, right? So this kind of daily consistent movement is what helps improve the bone density and it helps support healthy hoof growth, you know, in these growing babies. If a weanling is going to be stalled, you just have to be more proactive and more intentional about getting that baby out every day for a little bit of exercise. So you can do this by turning them out into and, you know, maybe a large arena or a large safe enclosure where they can go run and play. You could put them in like a horse exerciser, you know, one where the horse is basically in a cage front and back, but able to move around within, you know, they're not like hooked into a hot walker with a lead rope or anything like that. But just, you know, something that is safe that will encourage them to walk around, move around, trot around, lope around, butt kick, play, you know, do what babies do. You could even consider taking them on an evening walk with you. I mean, if you like to get out and, you know, you've got maybe a nice, you know, dirt road that you can go walk down, you know, take a 1 mile walk or something with, you know, just grab the baby and take the baby with you. That would certainly get them, more used to being handled and being around people. So, you know, just anything that you can do to get them moving and using their body is going to be beneficial. It's those vibrations and the concussions of each step. That's what triggers the bone to remodel and increase in density, right? So if your baby stands around in just one general area all day long, they are missing the boat in terms of optimum bone development. Okay. I've even seen this in pastured weanlings where, you know, the hay, the water, the grain tubs, you know, the feeding spot, everything's in one place. So even though a baby may have tons of room to potentially go run, they choose to congregate in this one spot. You know, maybe there's other horses that are across the fence or across the road and, you know, they want to be near those horses and they never leave this little area. Those horses have the potential to have, you know, the same bone density struggles as a stalled horse that never gets to move around. Okay. So this is another reason that a babysitter horse is really helpful, you know, or have a group of weanlings out together. It's really common practice for, you know, all the horses of the same age to be in the same pasture, paddock, or turnout together. And that's just simply so that they're more motivated to explore, move around, you know, learn herd dynamics, learn how to interact with other horses, and, you know, just move about, you know, the entire pasture or paddock. You can also actually encourage movement by placing the food and the water sources in separate areas, to kind of force them to go from one end to the other, right? If they have to go clear to the back end for food and they have to go over to the side for water, and then they get to come to the front, you know, for interaction with other horses, you know, across, you know, by interaction I mean they get to stand there like they're in a herd, right? Just whatever it is, like sometimes you can use those types of things like food and water and other horses as incentives to be in different areas of a pasture. Then it goes without saying, you know, certainly try, make sure that your fencing is safe and appropriate, right? There is nothing more disheartening than a baby getting hurt. And then, you know, especially if that has a lifelong impact on their soundness or their performance. And I mean, let's be honest, even in the absolute safest possible places, I mean, horses just find ways to get hurt. I mean, it happens, and it's going to happen to a certain number of horses. All right, next, we want to make sure that the water source is clean and reliable, okay? So if you are asking your weanling to drink from, say, a pond or a stream or some kind of natural water source, make sure that it is accessible, make sure that it is clean, and make sure that it is always full, right? All times of the year, okay? I am amazed at how many horses are expected to drink basically warm, muddy water where they have to traipse out in knee-deep mud to even access it. It just, you know, it blows me away. Like horses do not like to drink dirty water, you know, whether it's stagnant and muddy or stagnant and, you know, has like just all kinds of weird things growing in it. You know, I mean, horses will limit their own access to water. And then if that water source completely runs out and you don't realize it, okay, that can happen. A stream dries up, or, you know, a pond goes dry and it's not easy to see it from where you normally are. Like maybe you have to walk out to the back, you know, the back 40 to see this stream. You know, if a horse is deprived of water, it can only live like 3 to 6 days, right? Less than a week. So make sure that you are checking those water sources often. Oh, and then if you live in cold climates, remember that young horses may not yet understand the concept of having to, you know, push their nose through a thin layer of ice that maybe covers their water in the morning. You know, just little things like that. And again, that's where it kind of helps to have that babysitter horse there to, you know, help show them the ropes. If you do live in cold climates, I suggest using a tank heater or a water heater, or invest in installing automatic waterers where, you know, the pipes sit below the freeze line, and that water only comes up, you know, when the horse needs to drink, and then it goes back down so it doesn't ever like freeze up. I actually installed some of those. I went with the drinking post waterers on our place, and like they have been amazing. You know, the water stays relatively cool in the summer and relatively warm in the winter. And since it always drains out after every use, the water that, you know, like the water that fills back up into the bowl is always fresh, right? So I don't ever have to worry about algae. I don't have to scrub water tanks now. It's been pretty cool. We did go through some fairly tough winter storms last year, and the, you know, those drinking post waterers didn't fail, right? So now that said, even when you do have an automatic watering system, go check it, like test it yourself. I mean, every other day I still go out into my pens and push the paddle down and make sure everything is working properly. And it's even more hypercritical to do that when the weather is, you know, extreme in, you know, like on an extreme, either extremely hot or extremely cold. And then especially too, you know, in the first few months, like make sure that the water is working, make sure that you teach the horses how to drink from it, right? And then when you're installing it, make sure you follow the instructions from the manufacturer. Okay. So my husband installed ours, and I mean, I can't speak from experience, but apparently there are some shortcuts that can be taken that you will later regret. And, you know, even something as simple as like putting, I guess one of the recommendations was to put Vaseline or some kind of lube on certain rods. And, you know, that's important for preventing those paddles from freezing in the up position or the down position. So again, that was my husband's department. But we had one waterer that was giving us fits. And one day he was like, I guess maybe I should take it apart and do that one thing that they said I should. And I'm just like, wait, what? You didn't follow the directions? So whatever it was that he didn't do the first time around, definitely made all the difference after he went back and did it right. Water is required for all metabolic processes within the body. So, you know, if the weanling is not able to drink adequate amounts of water each day, the weanling's development is going to suffer. Okay. All right, let's move on to forage. Your choice of forage is going to serve as the foundation of the diet, meaning that, you know, what you sacrifice in terms of quality for forage will have to be made up another way, okay? So feeding a weanling is nothing like feeding a mature horse, right? The nutrient needs of a weanling are much higher in certain areas. So let me give you some examples. When you compare the needs of a weanling to the needs of a mature horse in, let's call it, maintenance status, right? So supplying a mature horse's basic needs versus supplying the needs of a weanling, okay? That's what we're comparing. Weanlings are going to require 22.5% more protein. Their energy needs are 6.5% greater. Their lysine needs, okay, lysine is an amino acid, those needs are 23% greater. Their calcium needs are 64% greater in weanlings compared to mature horses. And phosphorus needs are 44% greater in weanlings compared to maintenance horses, okay, adult mature horses. So all of that said, if you're going to opt for lower quality forage, meaning maybe worn out pasture, overgrazed pasture, dried up pasture, lower quality grass, hay, you know, whatever it is, you have to make up the difference where that forage lacks, okay? You have heard me say this 100 times, but I am going to say it again because it is just that important. Get your hay tested, right? Buy enough of it to make it worth testing, right? So my general rule of thumb is buy at least 3, maybe even 4 months of hay at a time, okay? And test it, right? You can get those tests back literally within 10 to 14 days, okay? So, you know, don't think that it's going to take you, you know, 60 days to get the results back. And by that time, you're going to be halfway through the hay and it's not going to be worth it. I mean, literally, I've had hay results back in as fast as 5 days before, okay? Like, it just depends on how backlogged the lab is. But, I mean, you can get those results back really fast and know exactly what your hay is testing and providing, right? If you don't test your hay, you have no idea what areas need support, right? You don't know what the nutritional gaps are if you don't know what your hay is providing. I'm a big fan of incorporating alfalfa into the diet of a weanling for a few reasons. First, it is more nutrient dense, okay, in all of the areas where we need that major support. So protein, lysine, calcium, all of those are going to be more concentrated in alfalfa compared to grass pasture or grass hay. The second reason I like to use a little alfalfa is because it's a good natural buffer to stomach acid, okay? So it's going to help prevent an overly acidic pH, and that in turn may then help prevent the development of ulcers in these babies. Again, this is a stressful time. Going to a new place, they've never even been away from their mothers before, let alone been off of the property that they grew up on. Now they're without their mother, they're on a totally new property, totally, you know, everything is new. That's really scary. Okay. So their chance of developing gastric ulcers is going to be heightened. And so incorporating a little alfalfa into the diet is just kind of one easy thing that you can do to buffer that stomach acid, keep the pH of their digestive tract a little bit more stable, if you will. Now, You don't have to go to, you know, like a 100% alfalfa diet, right? You can mix it with a little grass hay, or it's really common to have babies out on pasture grass and then feed the alfalfa in addition to the pasture grass. Okay. So, you know, the babies will graze some, they'll eat some alfalfa. So again, it's not a 100% alfalfa diet. It's a combo that will actually do a pretty good job of satisfying the bulk of the needs in terms of protein and macro minerals. One thing I want you to keep in mind, though, is that no hay, no pasture, no alfalfa, no grass will ever supply the proper levels of trace minerals, particularly copper and zinc. Okay, so many forages, particularly grass hay or late in the year grass pasture, will struggle to provide also enough digestible energy or calories for a weanling. Okay, so forage alone still has a lot of deficits, okay? So this is where a concentrate comes in. Concentrate is the term that nutritionists use, but the average horse owner uses the term grain, okay? And no, you can't just go with a scoop of oats and think that everything is going to be fine. It won't be, right? Oats will give you some energy. They'll give you some calories, right? They'll give you a little phosphorus, but I mean, that's about it, right? They're not going to make up for your trace mineral deficits, okay? So this is one area that, you know, I want to call out. Trace minerals, especially copper and zinc, are so critical to proper development of the body, right? They are required to, you know, for the formation of cartilage, for tendons, ligaments, hoof structure, right? If the diet does not contain adequate amounts of trace minerals, the body is still going to try to do its best to lay those building blocks and lay that foundation, but there are things that are going to suffer, right? So for example, maybe the articular cartilage in the joints gets laid, but it gets laid thinner, right? Which means later in life, maybe the cartilage starts to wear out, right? Maybe that horse is going to be more susceptible to sore joints and pain and inflammation and arthritis, right? If you skip these critical trace minerals, right? Tendons may not be put together as strong as they should be, right? You may have weaker tendons, weaker ligaments. Hoof walls, you may end up with a horse whose hoof walls are just always cracking or chipping off, right? Or maybe you end up with a horse whose sole depth is less than acceptable, right? They've got very soft, very tender feet, like the kind of horse that always has to be on shoes or has to have pads on, right? Okay, these are all things that trace minerals directly impact. They are involved in that early formation and that early foundation of making sure that all of those structures are built well. So the best approach is to make 100% certain that the body has access to all of the tools that are necessary to build the strongest, most robust structure possible. You can accomplish this by feeding a fortified feed, okay? Meaning, one that has been formulated by an actual PhD equine nutritionist, right? Meaning the levels and the amounts of all of the critical nutrients are guaranteed to be in that daily program when you feed the feed at the levels that are recommended on the tag, okay? If you are feeding oats, you can lean on like a vitamin mineral supplement to make up in the areas where we know that oats fall short. And if you, let's say you're maybe trying to lean on a forage only diet and you're trying to avoid the use of oats or, fortified grains or anything like that, I strongly recommend that you offer a loose free choice mineral or a diet balancer to make up for the shortcomings of a forage only diet. Again, weanlings have very different nutritional needs compared to mature horses, right? So what works for your 7-year-old gelding is not going to be the ticket for a weanling. I am generally not a fan of relying on tubs or blocks for weanlings when it comes to providing their vitamins and minerals. First of all, there's no way to ensure that they're actually eating enough of it every day to meet their needs. Secondly, many of them are molasses-based, which can lead to excessive sugar loads and the potential for developing metabolic conditions. And then kind of the last piece is, you know, if a weanling does get aggressive about trying to actually eat the tub, they're going to start to use their teeth to scrape. And, you know, so basically they'll try to like scrape off what they want and then lick it up, because their tongues are relatively smooth and relatively sensitive. And so, you know, if they were to stand there, you know, for 2 hours or however long it would take to actually eat enough of it to get the right amount of trace minerals and vitamins or whatever is built in, like their tongue would just get sore, right? It would get raw. And so a lot of times horses will use their top teeth, their incisors, to scrape on those tubs to break loose some of that so that they can then lick that up easier. And that scraping with their teeth can really cause some pretty serious dental issues, right? So it can overwear those incisors. It can wear them in a bad pattern that then causes malalignments in the jaw. You know, the TMJ joint can get affected. And these are things that will affect them the rest of their lives, right? And so again, we're trying to set these babies up for the best success possible. And I just feel like, you know, I feel like with tubs, there's just too much opportunity for something bad to go wrong. So, you know, if you want them to have access to something free choice, I generally will recommend a loose mineral and some loose salt. Okay, you can even throw like a plain white salt block out there for the ones who just get bored and want to like mouth around on something. For whatever reason, most weanlings don't ever try to like bite or scrape salt blocks like they do molasses or mineral tubs. And I think that's just because they, you know, with sugar, you know, those molasses and mineral tubs have a lot of sugar. And so with sugar, it's like, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. But with salt, you know, even with us, you know, there's a point where too much salt is just too much salt. And with sugar, I don't know, I'm guilty. Like, especially when I'm driving, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have, you know, a candy bar. Oh, I'm going to have this. Oh, I'm going to have that. And it's like, I have to mentally tell myself, stop eating the candy, stop eating the sugar, you know. But with salt things, it's a little bit easier to kind of be like, oh, that's a lot of salt, I'm done. So I don't know, I'm just kind of guessing that maybe that affects horses the same way, but I've never seen a horse actually go after a white, plain white salt block in the way that they do, you know, those molasses tubs or those mineral tubs. Oh, one other thing actually on those tubs is some horses will actually try to paw the tops of the tubs. Okay, particularly like if those tubs are too hard for them to scrape with their teeth, or they get innovative, they'll start to actually paw it with their hooves and try to get those tubs loose so that they can eat that. And I've actually seen some really major hoof issues caused because they are wearing off the hoof. They're wearing it off too far, number one, or they're wearing the hoof at a bad angle. Okay, so they're not wearing it off straight across, they're wearing it off at an angle. So then when they go back to place their foot on the ground, their foot sits at an angle. And that then can cause problems in the joints up the leg, because the foot is not level, which means that causes the joints, the bones, to not be level with the joint. And so, I mean, there's just lots of potential negative things that can happen with those tubs. So in all honesty, I avoid them myself. Now, I am sure they're great for cattle, but I just don't think that they have a place for horses, especially not weanlings. Now, if anyone is interested in what products I personally use or generally will recommend when I'm doing, when I'm helping someone with their program, I am a big fan of a product. It's a fortified feed, pelleted feed called Intensify Growth and Development. That's made by Blue Bonnet Feeds. That is always my like first choice for weanling diets. You know, if perfect world, you know, and someone says, I just want to do the absolute best, that's my go-to. If I'm working with someone that, you know, wants to feed oats and we just need to figure out a way to balance out the nutritional gaps between oats and forage, or if someone is on a forage only program, or if I have someone that is maybe using a fortified feed, but they are giving it at levels that are less than what are recommended. Okay, so in all three of those situations, I will lean on a supplement called 101 Diet Balancer, and that's made by Stride Animal Health. Another one that I might lean on is one called Nutrimix Plus, also by Stride Animal Health. So the 101 Diet Balancer is a pellet. The Nutrimix Plus is a powder. So that's one kind of differentiator I use between the two. And then the other differentiator is that the Nutrimix Plus has mega doses of biotin built into it. So it will actually provide 100 milligrams of biotin per day. Okay. So otherwise the two are very, very similar in terms of, you know, vitamins, minerals content, you know, nutritional content. 101 Diet Balancer does contain the research proven levels of biotin that we know are beneficial for hoof health. But the Nutrimix Plus goes beyond those levels because we've seen some really good clinical results when you go to that kind of like 4x level of biotin in the daily diet. So it's ratcheted, amped up in that Nutrimix Plus, the biotin is. So that's, you know, I guess the other thing I want to make sure people understand is that the vitamin and mineral package that's built into the intensified growth and development is basically the 101 Diet Balancer. Okay. So if you are feeding the intensified growth and development feed, you're getting that 101 Diet Balancer built in, right? But then if you go with the feed, you're also getting all of the digestive support components, you're getting the gastric buffer, and then you're getting those ingredients that will help improve bone density. Okay. So there's a few nuances where if you go with the full feed, there's some added benefits that you get versus if you just go with the 101 Diet Balancer. Then if someone wants, you know, like a free choice mineral, I will recommend Element. That's by Stride Animal Health. It provides all of the basic needs in terms of minerals and vitamins, and it does it in like a loose crumble form that you can actually leave out all the time. Or you can top dress it on something like, you know, alfalfa pellets or beet pulp or oats or, you know, whatever you want to put it on top of. I think one last thing that I think is worth pointing out is the topic of physitis or epiphysitis. Okay. It's very important to monitor the foal's body condition and rate of growth. Okay. So if you notice, fat pockets developing, okay, that's a sign that you are overfeeding your horse and you should work with an equine nutritionist, to really fine tune that diet and make sure that you're providing adequate amounts of nutrition and not over nutrition. Okay. There's, you know, I think there's always a lot of talk around this, you know, like, accelerated growth rates or my horse is growing too fast or, you know, that I feel like that's kind of an easy button thing to lean on when things aren't going perfect. Like, oh, he's just growing too fast. But there's actually a lot more that goes into it. And the horse's genetics are going to play a huge, huge role in when that horse matures, how fast they develop, like how fast they grow, what their body size is. So, you know, let's not give nutrition all the credit on that one. That is heavily, heavily influenced by genetics and by management decisions, right? Now, you do need to make sure that you're doing things appropriately on the nutrition side, but some horses are just going to grow fast and be big at a young age. And I mean, they're just genetically programmed to be that way. Okay. Some babies are going to develop physitis, right? It is very common in thoroughbreds and sport horses. And the reasons that a horse will develop physitis or epiphysitis, okay, same thing, just two different words. All of those reasons why that happens can vary, right? It could be due to an infection, right? It could be due to malnutrition. It could be due to excessive nutrition. It could be due to conformational defects. It could be due to obesity. It could be due to genetics. It could be due to hormonal disorders, right? So you certainly need to check with your vet first and rule out those things like, you know, infection. You should work with an equine nutritionist to make sure that the diet is balanced. Do body condition assessment. Make sure that horse isn't obese, right? But after that, like after you've checked all of those basics off, the next thing you can do is just take a really deep breath and relax, right? Because it'll self-resolve. Okay. As long as it's not an infection or anything, you know, like, I mean, phthisitis happens and phthisitis self-resolves, right? So I cover that topic in a lot more depth. I've got an episode dedicated to it. So if you maybe find yourself in that position or have in the past, or you just want more information on it, go check out episode number 72, and hopefully that'll help answer your questions there. The last thing that I will leave you with is a little protocol that I like to use on youngsters who are, maybe they're from bloodlines that have a genetic predisposition to things like OCDs, or, you know, I just want to do everything I can to make sure that this baby is set up for the best shot at life, right? You know, like, there are some people where, you know, this isn't a big program for them, right? They just, maybe they have one baby out of a really nice mare and they just want to do everything they can for that one baby. You know, whatever the situation, like if people want to do everything they can to set a baby up for optimum success, I will recommend something that is called the orthopedic program, right? And it's not a program that you can go buy, right? It's this series of things that I will tell people to do. And I will tell you, don't worry. It basically consists of a 90-day protocol, which incorporates some very specific trace minerals, very specific amino acids, very specific functional building blocks, some natural vasodilators, and then some circulatory agents, which give the bone and the cartilage every chance at full nutrient delivery and, you know, full chance of improving that bone fill and bone density. Okay. So, you know, if I'm working with someone on like a full nutrition program, I am generally going to have that weanling, like I said earlier, I'm going to have that weanling on intensified growth and development as their base feed. Okay. I'm going to make sure that I have them on a high quality forage, which I have tested, and I know how much of it needs to be fed, and I know how much of it needs to be alfalfa versus grass and all of that, right? So then I'm going to have them on intensified growth and development as the base feed. I'm going to be feeding it at label recommendations unless my hay tests tell me otherwise, okay? Then for a 90-day period, okay, starting at about 9 months of age, I will use 3 different supplements, all from Stride Animal Health. I will put that weanling on Orthomax at 2 scoops per day, Surge at 1 scoop per day, and Fish Oil Factor at 2 scoops per day, okay? So the combination of those 3 products on top of intensified growth and development is, in my opinion, going to give you the absolute best shot at having a sound, strong, healthy baby. Now, I'm not saying that nutrition alone is going to overcome all genetics or poor management, right? But this protocol will give you, you know, a really, really good shot. I've worked with breeding operations, and, you know, we've been able to basically cut rates of OCDs by 75% after going onto this full protocol. So I'm talking about people who year after year after year after year have full crops from the same genetic bloodlines, right? And they were struggling. And after going in and supporting and being, you know, very intense about the management of their program, being very strict, let's call it, about getting hay analysis done and double checking feeding rates and going and looking at babies and, you know, going on this 90-day protocol, right? We've been able to reduce their OCD rates by 75%. Okay. So I have a lot of confidence in it. Yes, it is expensive to do all 3 of those supplements, but it's only 90 days, right? And I promise it is well worth it if you can avoid breakdowns later on in training, or just to improve your chance at having clean radiographs for a yearling sale, right? I think that covers it. Thank you for tuning in, and good luck to everyone with their new weanlings, right? This is a really fun and exciting time. There is something about a weanling and the prospect of a bright future that just makes us horse people so happy and excited. So I'll be sure to leave a post on my social media pages for this episode, and you guys just feel free to comment and share away.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Feed Room Chemist. If you like what you hear, be sure to share with your friends, post to social media, or give us a review. And as Winston Churchill used to say, no hour of life is wasted that is spent in the saddle. So go saddle up.